Pawtucket to the shores of Orange Beach and all points in between. An insider's perspective on Alabama politics. It's the Jeff Poor Show.
I don't think Hank done it this way.
Welcome to the Jeff Poor Show at FM Talk 106.5. Good Thursday morning to you. We do appreciate you listening. 251-343-0106. That's how you get in touch with the show if you so desire. Coming up here shortly, Paul DeMarco, one of our regulars, coming up at 9:30. So stick around for that. Also on the program, April Marie Fogle of 1819 News, my colleague there. She'll be with us. You'll get to hear from her more tomorrow. Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. Try to use her a little more sparingly this stint, but she'll be with you the next four programs as I'll be out. Also continuing on this thread, State Senator Chris Elliott, our returning champion, coming in a day early since I will be absent tomorrow. If you want to know who's, that's always can look at x.com/Jeff_poor sometime in that 8 o'clock hour. We put up the show list, 251-343-0106. If you want to be in touch with the program, hit me up on that text line, and we will respond to whatever it is that is on your mind. Well, I think the news is wars sort of escalated here. I'm seeing a lot of stories about oil at 100, but yes, Brent, It hit $100 a barrel, but the West Texas Intermediate, $91. But the point is here, significantly higher than yesterday. And the war sort of spilled over into the Red Sea. Also, another part of this is that the, then there's a Saudi Arabia peaceful nuclear enrichment deal. It sounds like the deal's already done, but Trump is on his Truth Social saying it's contingent on the Saudi Arabians joining the Abraham Accords, which would be a big deal. A very big deal, normalizing Saudi-Israeli relations. This could not come at probably a worse time for a lot of people with this spike in oil. I think a lot of people are traveling. It is that the reason we're taking this time. But for a lot of people, it's that kind of intermediate time between school, right when school starts and any kind of summer activities your kids are in. There's a few weeks there gap. There's a lot of traveling this time of year. So the timing is not the best. I'm not sure what this matters politically. The markets do what the markets do. The yo-yo. For all we know, we could be thinking this is World War III. And then, lo and behold, tomorrow, there's another deal that people are, like, actually taking seriously. But that seems to be kind of the biggest news right now. And this is going to help Democrat polling. I just kind of, I hate to be so myopically focused on politics, but you can't help but think about that. I think all of this is like fine and dandy. If you really believe that U.S. foreign policy in the Middle East is the right course of action. And there's a lot of you out there. A lot of you will text this show and tell me you don't want a nuclear weapon unleashed upon the poor people of Theodore or wherever. And that we have to do it this way. Yes. Okay. Let's ride on that assumption that they're going to hit these small towns in Alabama or wherever, or New York City. I don't know wherever you think that is a strategic target for the Iranian government. If you get a politically untenable situation and this sort of spirals out of control, where people, they're not thinking about the what ifs. They're thinking about the what's happening right now. And you're dealing with $5, in excess of $5 a gallon for regular unleaded gasoline. You're going to lose in the midterms. You're going to lose seats you probably shouldn't lose. But you want to pile onto that. How do you think a Democrat-controlled Capitol Hill is going to go? What do you think that looks like? Well, it's not going to be, hey, Donald Trump, continue on your foreign policy. You have Democrat after Democrat just lined up to go on television to tell us how horribly this president is handling the Middle East right now. He doesn't know what he's doing. That he's made a mess, that he's armchair quarterback. Or whatever. No matter what he does, they're going to be against. And they're looking at 2028, and they're going to start defunding things. This is just the reality I think as a part of this war, if you believe in it, if you think it's the right thing to do, you got to take into account the politics here domestically, because Democrats will just defund it. They will pass a law to say, now, I mean, obviously Trump has veto power, but they'll tie it to some budget, a farm bill or something. And he won't achieve the objective. You got to get past the midterms. And, yeah, well, the Iranians won't wait. They're going to nuke us any day. I mean, do we believe that? So is the drop-dead date, whatever, the new Congress is sworn in next year? And I thought they had this pretty under control for the time being. But it doesn't appear so, because now it's starting to spill over into other theaters around the Mideast. And the other part of it, you know, we just don't have a good response to it. I think we got to start looking at, like, ways around a Strait of Hormuz. They got to build some kind of land route or something. I don't know if that's even feasible, but I hear that talk. But the globe being held hostage by the Iranian government because of the Strait of Hormuz is that important. At some point, they're going to figure out a way around to bypass it. I don't think they could build a canal or anything. I mean, that's just not going to happen. But clearly, this was not good. And they're allowing Chinese ships to pass through, is what I understand, without striking those. So China's not a good actor here. But the media are doing a victory lap. See, we told you he was a dum-dum. We told you he was stupid. Told you he didn't know what he was doing in the Middle East. And whether you believe that or not, there's a lot of people who will. A lot of people who will. They're going to vote for Democrats because of it. Simple as that. If I were a Democrat, and this were Joe Biden, I mean, you know, the shoe was on the other foot, I guess I should say. If I were, you know, Republican and this were Biden's foreign policy, you know the Republicans would be doing that. 251-343-0106. Something else kind of interesting. And I don't know what's going on here, but we had a 180, I guess you would call it. That Terry Sewell and Shamari Figures have kind of changed course here. what their stance is on transgender athletes in female sports. Yeah, I don't know what to make of that other than do they see something on the horizon here that's politically advantageous? Or, I mean, this is the mainstream position in Alabama. Do they see something here that's some headwinds for them politically? Because it's a national story, but as we would say, it impacts the state. And it you know, changing course on something that big, they broke away from the party. It was sent out by the NRCC, I think. They're targeting figures. They want an easy win. Well, no, we could talk about that in a moment. More Tabitha Eisner news. But when you reverse course on this, somebody said, hey, maybe you need to rethink this. We pulled it in your district, and this could be something Republicans could use against you. Yeah, went over some Democrat votes saying that you're for transgender, quote unquote, females, quote unquote, participating in women's sports. Sounds like insane to us, but it's interesting. That's something that they're looking at. Because what we have just a couple of weeks here. Until, or a few weeks here, until the August 11th primary. Also, we heard from Joe Reed and Randy Kelly. So, catch you up here. Tabitha Eisner is the vice chairwoman of the Alabama Democratic Party, and she's been going on social media on multiple occasions, encouraging Democrats to go vote in the Republican primary. And that, you know, that strengthens the case for a lot of Republicans pushing for closed primaries. But, you know, we're hearing it from the vice chairwoman. What is the chairman, Randy Kelly, saying? Or more importantly, what's his boss, Joe Reed, saying? It really is the kingmaker in the Alabama Democratic Party. You don't win elections without kissing his ring or paying his ransom. And neither one seemed to be very, 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 very pleased with this. Quote Randy Kelly, that's against our bylaws and Constitution. We don't vote for Republicans. We have a rule called the Radney Rule. We have disqualified folks for supporting Republicans or taking contributions from Republicans, giving contributions to Republicans. We are what you call Yellow Dog Democrats. Republican Party has been the White Flight Party, White Flighty Party. Ku Klux Klan, as you know, ran the Democrat Party in the 60s. That's the party of Bull Connor, George Wallace. And then he goes on to more of a history lesson. But not everybody in the Democratic Party is for Tabitha Eisner's little adventure here on August 11th. We're going to break it here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Boer Show at FM Talk 106.5.
On a freight train leaving town, not knowing where I'm bound, and no one could change my mind, but Mama tried. Get on me, want to know, Hank, why do you drink?
Back to the Jeff Boer Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for being with us on this Thursday morning, 251-343-0106. Need to be in touch with the program. All you got to do is text me, and we'll do our best to respond to whatever is on your mind. Squirrelberry, 2 weeks of April Marie Fogle. people are aroused. I haven't seen this really aroused in a long time. Yes, the people like to deny that Orange Beach and Pritchard have similarities, just like they pretend Mobile is different. Like this is, just like they pretend and that Orange Beach could go completely bad easily. I find it interesting. The social justice warrior Democrats sprinkled in Orange Beach aren't passionate for uplifting Pritchard. You won't get 2 weeks of April, where we focus, we only get 4 days. Tomorrow, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. They get Bradley J. Thursday, Friday. And then the week after that, Will Hampson on Monday, Erica Thomas, Scott Buttram, and Rebecca Watson. So think of April Marie as sort of your starting pitcher. Then we go to the bullpen for some long relief, and then we go to a musical chairs or revolving chairs of guest host until I'm back on that following Friday. 2 weeks from tomorrow. Sorry to let you down, Squirrel Vereen. Let's see here. Dirt Digger. Obama tried to buy Iran as a friend, and they used the American taxpayer money to fight Israel. Now Iran is paying for helping evil territories attacking Israel. That is what started. I'm glad Trump is beating them down. But Dirt Digger comes at a price. And the price could be, for this country, Democrat leadership on Capitol Hill. Right now, as we speak, Chuck Schumer is doing exactly what I said. He's doing a speech about gas prices. Not that Chuck Schumer is the best vehicle here for messaging, but that tells you what you need to know. That's going to be their move. Start spending millions of dollars in advertising and frame it any way you want. People pay attention to their pocketbook. And you find this thing that Republicans are doing, it really bothers me. Well, we're gonna keep an eye on those oil companies. That's what Democrats do. That's what they did during Bush. In the early stages of Obama. Sheila Jackson Lee, do you remember her? Talking about taking over oil companies. The heavy-handed government's going to fix this. A name texture from what I heard, Exxon and ConocoPhillips are working on with Iraq to build a pipeline to completely bypass the Strait of Hormuz. That's got to happen. You got to find other ways to get this oil to market. Toothless Bammer writes, amazing. Democrat politicians have to look to their precious polls to determine what position we need to have on trans athletes. How does anyone take this party seriously anymore? Sincerely, Bill Maher. You know, I think that had a lot to do with Trump's popular vote win. The Democrats need these select groups for, I think they need it for the sake of having some kind of enthusiasm, some kind of spark in some elections. But these big national elections, like maybe they win, maybe they have a really high winning percentage in some of these elections. But then when it gets to a big national election, Republicans say, well, this candidate believes that men should be in the same bathroom as your little girl. And they'll have a response to that. Because deep down, there are some people who really believe transgender female equals female, which is not the case biologically. Are that such a deviation from like long-standing societal norms is not going to result in some kind of abuses that someone would take advantage of. That would never happen in our society. 251-343-0106. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5. Time to get there. I'm eastbound, just watch no bandit run. Keep your foot hard on the pedal. Never mind them brakes. Let it all hang out, 'cause we got a run to make. Welcome back to the Jeff Porter Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for being with us on this Thursday morning. Text line 251-343-0106. We'll get to your text here in a short order. So to come on the program about an hour from now, April Marie Fogle, our 1819 news colleague, will be with us also in that 11 o'clock hour, since we won't be on tomorrow. A day early, you get returning champion, State Senator Chris Elliott. Please stick around for that. Joining us now on the line, as promised, he's a regular on this program. We're always glad to have him. Paul DeMarco is making time for us. Paul, how are you?
Good morning. Hope you're doing well today.
Hey, thanks for hopping on this morning. Do appreciate it. I guess we'll start with this. And, the Tabitha Eisner the push to get Democrats to vote in Republican primaries, I think it just really underscores the need for the legislature to do something here. But I kind of wonder, August 11th, if they could have an impact on the primary.
Well, we've seen it before, and it you're right. It when the lawmakers are back in 2027, you've got to point to this and say, you can't say this is no longer an issue. We keep on hearing, oh, there's no voter fraud. There's no illegals getting WIC. You know, we go on and on about all these issues like it doesn't exist, but then it's like, no, there really are these issues. It's not just false flags. There really are these issues, and here is a perfect example why lawmakers have got to take this up when they meet next year. So to get back to your original question, could it have an issue? Of course it could. It's going to be a low voter turnout. Those who are engaged and excited about going to the polls could make a difference. And look, you'd be, you know, whistling past the graveyard if you don't think there's more enthusiasm right now with the anti-Trump, with the Democrats right now. They want to vote against Republicans. They want to put their place in place. So there is enthusiasm there. So Republicans do need to be paying attention. Those who are conservative, who want to make sure that there are conservatives representing Alabama and Washington, D.C., do need to pay attention to what's going on and go to the polls on August the 11th.
Yeah, the thing that bothers me, I mean, Trump has endorsed in a couple of these races. Well, I guess in three, actually, of the four. And is it entirely possible, you know, some people would just get up and go out to vote? Because the Trump derangement syndrome is real. And here's your opportunity to vote against a Trump pick.
It is real, and it is hard. I mean, I've been in elections in the spring, in the summer. It is hard to get people activated. It's hard to say, hey, there's an election. You need to get out. And part of it is people are traveling. They're on vacation. They're with their families. They've got a lot going on. You know, you've got some of that coming up. You understand how it is. So you really have to really engage and remind folks, this is your opportunity. It doesn't come up that often. If you don't get out now, you're going to lose an opportunity to put who you want to represent you in Washington, D.C. And do you want the folks who don't share your same reflections on what policies should be running this country? You're not going to get the chance if you don't show up at the polls.
Yeah, it's, you know, just, but I guess long-term, they got to figure out something. But what... And do you have any suspicion, like, why are some Republicans so against this that I you know, you got to register with a party? Well, some people just don't want to register with a party, and it's going to hurt Republicans, and you just don't understand what you're getting into. I don't buy that argument.
That's what I've heard is there are some folks in some legislative districts around the state. They're concerned that if you have to register, they're not going to you're not going to get a Republican elected. I guess I would say to that is, I mean, if these folks are going to show up and they support you, they're going to get out and support the candidate. They're going to get out there, and if it means voting Republican, they will do that if they're going to support the candidate. So, I mean, has that been in play? Are we worried that we're going to lose? I mean, that was the discussion last year in the Senate, that there would be some House or Senate members that would lose if you went to this system. And the question is that really what would happen?
Is that realistic? Because I don't believe it. I mean, 86 was a rebuke of Democrats because of the way they handled it. They didn't just, you know, legally go and do this, close the primaries, and set up a criteria to be a candidate or whatever. They actually said, oh, we're canceling this election and we're going to do this. But, I mean, I don't think that's the same thing. I don't think that there is a – that's an apples and oranges comparison.
Right. I think when you look at these districts and some of these districts, I guess you would say is purple, they're going to be looking at the candidate. I really do. I mean, obviously you're going to have that, was it 40% vote regardless of each of the parties, but the folks that would potentially, I guess, be in the middle or whatever, they're going to say, hey, this is the candidate I want to send. So I don't think all of a sudden we're going to see a bunch of Republicans losing their races.
Right. Again, well, I mean, the argument was this, Paul, it was, oh, they're going to be so mad at Republicans because they did this, that they're electioneering through the statute, that they're gonna get mad and they're gonna vote for Democrats. That's not how this works.
That is not going to happen. That is not the issue. I don't buy that at all. Again, you look at each district by district. Clearly, there are more districts that are more conservative, more Republican, others. No question about it. But, you know, the concern that I guess was being expressed was some of these districts that are not as conservative, that you would lose these races if you make them, you have to register. And
many districts are there that would come into play? And then at best, out of 140 legislators, I mean, if you take the Democrat seats out, there's only like a handful. There can't be that many.
But, well, I mean, let's look at that district. I mean, Huntsville, was it? Is that a matter of that district is more Democrat, or has the Republicans, have they had the right candidate? You remember, isn't it about
Teddy Powell was a candidates? Bad, he was a bad candidate. He was asking to come on Mobile Radio, and he was running a race in Madison, Alabama. And I don't know what was going on there. He went and get working. They had Doug Jones out there for Maryland Lands. They were really, really, you know, they had a ground game. I don't know what was going on there, but it wasn't like, you know, there's a bunch of voters in Madison who were kind of eyeballing the Republican Party. Hey, we're going to show you.
I agree. And I see it in Jefferson County as well, where we're going to win. But at the end of the day, we have the right candidates. These candidates are going to win. And that's how I feel in Jefferson County. With some of these districts, oh, we're going to put a Democrat. I'm like, no, we've got the right candidates who are going to win. So when we look across the state, and if the right candidate who's going to represent their district, who's going to work hard, they're going to win, including with these party registration, which is seen as, you're going to see more of this go out and vote to the other side if based on this election. It's going to, I mean, they're going to get past August 11th, say, let's look at some of these other races in the future. So that's why I think the legislature does need to come back, pass it. And I think with the right candidates, it's not going to be an issue. Wrong candidate, you're going to lose. But that means get the right candidates running in the let's get the right candidates nominated and picked to win.
Yeah. Well, you have faith in the voters to figure this out. And there's almost, it just comes off as almost elitist to try to ascribe this behavior from voters, that they're not going to go and vote out of merit. They're going to vote as from a 3-year-old's temper tantrum or something, and show those mean old Republicans who are trying to tell them who they can and can't, or what they had to do to vote for in their primary. I don't think that is really the reason here, is what I'm trying to say.
No, and I'm like you. I have confidence in the voters. Again, when you have the right candidates, and I say the right candidates, somebody who's sincerely going to represent their district, be the voice of the people of that district, reflect what that district wants. You know, the most important issue when I was in legislature was, you know, the education, the public schools and public safety. Those were the issues that were important. And so you go down, you go up, down to Montgomery, you make sure that you are there to reflect what's going on in your district. You stay engaged, you stay involved. You're not going to have any trouble. You're talking about stuff that they don't care about. They're not going to send you to the state capitol.
Joined by Paul DeMarco here on the program. Paul, you drive around the state a lot. This is, without national politics a little bit here, I think that, like, all of this discussion about foreign policy in the Middle East is great. Fine, we can have that debate. But what really matters is going to be gas prices. And these gas prices go up. I think that there's certain headwinds here Republicans are going to have to deal with in November. I don't know what the resolution here is. And it just seems like a never-ending low-grade war that we're engaged in right now.
I do, but it is July, 23rd. I am hopeful. You know, we still have, you know how things are, and Jeff, things change so quickly. If this, I mean, I want to use the word resolve. Is it, did you ever get anything resolved in the Middle East? But if you get to a point where a lot can change with gas prices, the economy between now and November. And that's what I am hopeful about. I've seen the polls that show, you know, Republicans down, and then it's the midterms on top of that and all the Trump derangement syndrome. So there's no question that Republicans are going into a tough election season. Then you add all these other issues, but there is, I think there's plenty of time between now and November for these issues to be resolved. I mean, you just saw gas prices went down. Now they're back up. I mean, you've got 3 months for these issues to be resolved, I am hopeful, before November. Because you're right, people do pay attention to food prices and gas prices. They look at what's going on with their family. These are important issues. Folks are about to send their kids back to school, so they're going and doing shopping and all this. So they are paying attention, and you're right. This will have an effect if we're still talking about these type of issues come November.
I mean, the thing is, though, I know they kind of pay attention to what's going on, but it's the bottom line is, like, what's more of an impediment to my quality of life? Is it this threat from Iran, which is very real, I suppose, or me having to go to the gas pump, pay an extra $20 to fill up my truck or whatever, and or 30 bucks or whatever. And I think it's going to be the latter. I don't think it's going to be, you know, this threat. And I, you know, if you lose in November, and the other part about that, about gas prices, I mean, they take a little longer to go down than they go up. I think it's, you know, I think this has to be a part of it, because if you lose in November and Democrats somehow make hay out of this, none of this matters. They're going to defund things. They're going to do things to make it hard to prosecute this war.
Well, you're right. And so the president's got this calculation. He's trying to do what he believes is right to solve a 47, 49-year-old issue with Iran. But at the same time, you know, what if the midterms weren't? What would all this look like if the midterms weren't coming up in November? I mean, there's no question. Anybody be naive to think there's not political calculation. So the question is, all the bombing that's going on, trying to get it done and wrapped up, because there's no question it is affecting the politics and what votes will look like in November.
Because if it didn't impact gas prices, I think people would support it. But that's a big if. And is there other things they could do to lower that price of a barrel of oil? Maybe. But as long as this impacts gas prices, that's going to be where people put their attention, I believe.
Well, it's, again, these districts that you're watching around the country that are borderline. I mean, what are Republicans up only in the House by 5 or 6? You're right. If you end up having a Jeffries over a Johnson, you can imagine what that's going to look like.
Well, the one thing Republicans have going for them, and, you know, if you look at, like, the Cook Political Report or the Larry Sabato or whatever, the redistricting is really going to help Republicans. They're going to pick up seats because of what these other states, and including Alabama, have done with their lines. And then it's also, you know, Democrats aren't running the best campaign at this point, but I feel like you're giving them a free shot on goal with the affordability question.
Well, in our district in Alabama, this district, I mean, are gas prices going to be the end all be all? Or is, like, wait a second, do we want to have this new district represented by Republican or Democrat? I don't know if the gas prices are going to make a difference in that race, but there are a lot closer districts around the country where all these issues are going to come to head. I can't see this being the end all be all issue here in Alabama for that district that's Republicans are trying to retake.
No, I think there's more issues there, but I do think that there's the opportunity here to not keep the House, at least keep it close enough to where you force Democrats to have a civil war within their caucus. And it looks like it did with McCarthy 4 years ago when he was trying to be speaker, and they can't come together on a speaker because right now Jeffries, he's made a lot of enemies with the Democrat Socialist. And if they get enough numbers, he's going to need every vote he has he can muster to be speaker, and that may not be in reach.
Well, and let me just say to that, yes, our midterms hard for the when the president is of that party. But look again where the Democratic Party and who they are electing. This is not the John F. Kennedy Democratic Party. These folks are so far left, so radical, and it's getting reflected in the polls, and they're going to elect more of that. So if they went from having four of them to all of a sudden 10 to 15 of them, think about what the Democratic Party and what they're going to be looking like, which, again, what are everybody going to be looking at next? The presidential election in 2028. And folks say, do you want a Democratic Party where they're having to really make happy these folks who are socialists, who want to get rid of ICE, who want to defund the police, who want to get rid of borders? I mean, they're not just – these aren't just – it used to be Republicans just throwing it. This is what they really are for. And the Democrat leadership has got to placate them.
Paul, we got to get out of here. We're out of time. But I always appreciate you hopping on this morning. Anybody want to find you online, where can they look?
On X at Paul underscore DeMarco.
Paul DeMarco, ladies and gentlemen. Paul, we'll do it again soon. Thanks.
Thank you.
All right, let's get a break in here. 251-343-0106. We'll get to your text on the other side. This is the Jeff Porter Show on FM Talk 106.5. Jeff Porter Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Thursday morning. 251-343-0106. If you need to be in touch with the show, all you got to do is text me, and we'll do our best to respond to whatever it is that may be on your mind. Still to come in the next hour, April Marie Fogel. So stick around for that. Let's see. More Toothless Bammer here writes, amazing Democrats. We already read that. Let's see. Billy, now I understand why the Democrats are pushing electric cars. Dirt Digger, Jeff, I hope you and your family have a great, wonderful vacation trip. I pray for y'all to have a great, safe vacation trip and hear back when you are on your Jeff Porter Show. Dirt Digger, you're very kind. Yeah, so we began this tradition every, we're third year now, and next year, one of the little brothers will get to go on, just giving mommy a respite from the chaos of three little boys. And it is chaotic, but we're very grateful for the chaos, but it'll kind of get ready for the school year. So we're going on a 2-week excursion. More like 13 days, and it's the upper Midwest. So we started going to baseball stadiums. He got really into baseball. He plays it. He understands it. He has favorite players. Last year, we hit a bunch. We hit the Rangers, the Royals, the Cardinals, and the Reds. And then there was a game they played at the Bristol Motor Speedway that we went to between the Reds and the Braves. So we're continuing that. The year before, we just did the Braves and the Nationals, but he was only three. He understands it a lot more now as he gets older. So we're going to do Cardinals again, only because it's kind of on the way, and the tickets are so cheap. But the new stadiums, looking forward to the Twins. I've never been to Minneapolis to a Twins game. I've been to Minneapolis. Was there for the 2008 Republican National Convention. That's really the only, other than flying through there, only time I've spent there. But also Milwaukee. And then the show will go on from there. But 251-343-0106. We'll get to more of your texts on the other side. Stick around. This is the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5.
My mom's a breast cancer survivor. The United Breast Cancer Foundation saved her life. Their free breast cancer exam caught the cancer early, and it saved her life. But now the foundation needs your help so they can continue offering free or low-cost breast screening exams, saving more women's lives. Help them by donating your car, whether it's running or not. They'll provide fast, free 24-hour pickup, and you receive a charitable tax deduction, plus the great feeling you'll get knowing your donated car is going to help save more lives. Just call 800-526-7406 to set the wheels in motion. They take cars, trucks, vans, and SUVs, running or not. Call 800-526-7406. The United Breast Cancer Foundation needs your help, and your donation.